We're going to turn tonight to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. And let's read beginning at verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, and thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight to appreciate the wisdom of your word and the treasure of wisdom and understanding and instruction that we find in the scriptures. Now I pray that we would understand these things and remember them often as we study your scriptures every day. We ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Many of you would not know this, but the past week or so, a number of young people have been helping us get a lot of materials out of a former public school. There's a gentleman by the name of Bill Damastis that is one of the leaders in the Republican Party here in Moore County, and I found out at a recent meeting that Brother Vic and I attended that they were shutting down this public school in Aberdeen, and it was just full of really good material, chairs and desks and shelves and all kinds of stuff. And so we've been going over there over several days, loading up trailer loads of that material and bringing here, much of it being very heavy, very heavy. And my wife and I had the pleasure of working with a number of young people out of our church. And I'd like to list the names of these young people. Joseph Francis and Micah Hafley and Kirk McCafferty and Matt Blanchard, Landon Pilkalkas, Cole and Quinn Pilkalkas, Ethan Creech, A.J. Ingram, Shiloh Williams, and Benjamin Smith. These are all students out of our school. And my wife was so impressed with how these young men worked, she made the statement to me. She said, I love these boys. I just love these boys. I said, any particular one? She said, no, all of them. I love all of them. And it had such an impression on me that I decided I would come back and put together a little message for tonight about young people. And we read from a passage tonight something of a warning, and it's a very serious warning to young people. Because Solomon tells us, for childhood and youth are vanity. And that's the title of this message tonight. But I'll tell you one thing. I am very, very encouraged having spent time with these boys. You can't imagine. Well, maybe you can. If you've ever worked hard in your life, how hard these boys worked this past week. And some of them that I've listed here were not able to participate in some of the things we did this week, but they did earlier when we moved all the belongings of Dr. Lee and Yu from Chapel Hill down here to his apartment, because he's now living here on the property as a member of our church. And these boys, some of them were able to go up there with us and help move all of that material. And it was truckload after truckload of it. Heavy. Taking it upstairs. Refrigerators and things like that are heavy. And one of the reasons I'm bringing this message is because when you get to be my age, I can remember a time when I was much younger that I would look at a refrigerator and I'd just look at it as a challenge, that I'd want to flex my muscles and pick it up and do all kinds of things. And I used to do that and had a lot of energy. And I have to confess to you that I do not have that kind of energy now. And when I see a refrigerator or a heavy sofa that needs to go upstairs, I sit there and I look at it, and that's about as much work as I want to do with it, is just look at it. But young people, when they're young, have strengths. They have strengths. And this passage here, beginning in chapter 11 and going on into the 12th chapter, Solomon is developing the whole aging process. You know, you start out young and full of strength and energy and so forth, and then you start getting older. And eventually you get old and die. And that's what this passage is about. Aging and death. And the importance of realizing with vision, with some kind of foresight concerning the future, how important it is to use this youthful energy that you have now for the Lord's glory rather than waste it on activities that mean nothing when it comes to eternity and when it comes to the things of the Lord. We're living in a culture where people are consumed with sports, with fun activities, entertainment, and you do not have a culture today that thinks, and that is investing their strength in what's going to matter forever. And Solomon is teaching us here the importance of doing this. Now, I'd like for you to turn, to 1 Kings chapter 3. And we'll look at a little bit of the history of this message we're reading here in Ecclesiastes by focusing on Solomon when he was a young fellow, probably about 15 years old, when he became king, best I can discover in what reading I've done. But in the fifth verse of 1 Kings chapter 3, it says this: "In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, Ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there is none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days." And we could keep reading, but I want you to think about this, especially you young people. I want you to think about the value of having an understanding heart. And the reason why is because life is not just about you and what you want. Life is about other people. And this was the focus of Solomon when he was only 15 years old. What do you think about, young person? What do you think life is all about? You see, our nature is to be self-centered. What's going to make me happy? What's going to make me satisfied? And what am I going to do today? Well, Solomon had learned, sitting at the feet of his mother, Bathsheba, and his father, David, King David. And he had learned at a very early age to do the first thing that the Lord mentioned in the Ten Commandments when it comes to our responsibility toward the people of this world. And the first thing that he said was, "Honor thy father and thy mother." These young men that I mentioned earlier, I think are examples of the wonderful things that can come out of and be a product of the ministry of a church like this. Because we've got parents in this room that love their children and are trying to teach them the importance of this book, and how to have a vision of the future, and how should they invest their their energy for the Lord's glory, because young people, this is all that's going to matter when life is over. Life is not about how many toys you can have and about cars and girlfriends and all of the things that young people tend to think about. The amusements, the sports, the gadgets that we play with, the games that young people play. What is life really all about? Well, it's very, very serious. It's very, very serious. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's a world of lost people out here. And there are some young people in this church right now that are not saved. Some of you have brothers and sisters that are not saved. Some of you may even have parents that are not saved. They think they are, but maybe they're not. I don't know. One of the most frightful things to me in this book is the fact that the false profession of faith is epidemic in the world. And just because you come to an independent fundamental church doesn't mean that you're just automatically saved. That is absolutely not true. I think the parable of the 10 virgins is an example of fundamentalism and how half of the people in churches where people wear white robes, as it were, and have lamps, but 5 of them had oil in them and 5 of them didn't. That's the Lord's way of showing you that half of the people that have a Bible in their hand and read it maybe pretty regularly, go to church on a regular basis, are just as lost as they can be because they do not have the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ living in their heart. It's serious to think about. Let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12. I'm going to go through these things rather quickly because there's a lot of symbolism here. And many of you that would know, you would know these things because it's been taught in our church over the years. But verse 2 of Ecclesiastes 12 says, "While the sun or the light of or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain." He's saying this in view of what he said in verse 1. "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, because there are going to be dark days ahead." Dark days. Verse 3, "In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble." That's God's symbolism for the hands. That's what it symbolizes. "The house is the body. And the strong men shall bow themselves." That's the legs. The strong men of the legs. "And the grinders cease because they are few." The grinders are the teeth. As you get older, you start having dental problems. We all go through this. "And those that look out of the windows be darkened." That's the eyes. The windows are the eyes. "And the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low. And he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low." Well, the doors are the ears, where you can't hear very well. And that's sort of what's happening to me now. I'm getting to where I can't hear very well. I have to wear hearing aids. Sometimes I forget to wear them, and sometimes I just don't wear them. And It shuts out so much of life. And I miss being able to hear the way I used to be able to hear. The daughters of music, you got a plural there. Daughters, not one, but two. That's the vocal cords. The daughters of music. Being able to sing in church. As you get older, you begin to lose the ability to sing. And a lot of people who were professional singers, when they get older, their voice begins to diminish and they're not able to sing anymore. And this happens to a lot of people that are professional singers. Verse 5, also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way. I talk with Pat about this every once in a while. We got to stay off of these tall ladders. And when you start getting older, you begin to realize, you know, look, this is really dangerous. And a lot of older people get seriously hurt because they forget that they're not young like they used to be. And try to do things that young people do, but they can't because they're now older. And they do not have the ability that they used to have. The almond tree. Well, as I look out over the audience, I can remember how it used to be that all of us had dark hair. But the almond tree is a picture of aging and becoming white-headed. And the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail. That's the appetites. Sometimes we can't eat like we used to when we were young. Because man goeth to his long home. Speaking of death, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed. I believe that's the spinal cord that it's talking about. Or the golden bowl be broken. That would be the head. That might be a stroke or something like that. I think that's a picture of that. Or the pitcher be broken at the fountain. That's, I think, symbolism of the heart. Maybe a heart attack. We've had some in here that have had heart problems. I did back about 15 years ago. Had a heart attack right here in my office. And Laura Ingram comes in and begins to rescue me. And others have had these problems. Or the wheel be broken at the cistern. That's likely the circulatory system. The circulatory system. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was. And the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. All is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed, and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further by these, my son, be admonished, of making many books there is no end. And much study is a weariness of the flesh. Have you ever thought about how many books there are in the world? I used to go to the library at East Carolina University, and thousands of volumes of books in that place. No end. How could a person learn what's in the books? There's so much we do not know. Young people, listen to me. Don't ever get proud of what you know. Always remember the volume of things you know nothing about whatsoever. It's impossible for these little puny minds of ours, these little finite minds, to take in the body of knowledge that God has created. It's unsearchable. And it doesn't matter how many degrees you ever get in the educational system, you're only going to be scratching the surface of what there is to know. When you understand these kinds of things, it works humility in your heart. So anytime you run across somebody that's proud of their educational accomplishments, you just remember what you heard at Calvary Memorial Church. It's not so important what you think you know as it is what you realize you do not know. Because there's a lot more that you do not know than there is that you will ever know. And so Solomon in verse 13 gives us the conclusion of the whole matter. So listen to this, young people. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. You want something simple? You want something simple? Here's the conclusion of the whole matter. Just two things. Fear God. What does that mean? Well, that's the beginning of wisdom, fearing God. Solomon talks about that in the Proverbs. Fear God. It's the beginning of wisdom. And when you fear God, you'll discover that the basis for it is yourself and your own nature. That's what should be feared. The Lord is our rescuer. He's our Savior. He is the one that has come to save us from the greatest fear in the world. You know what that is, young people? The freedom to choose. That's the most frightful thing that you will ever deal with in the course of your life, is your freedom to choose, because you have the freedom to choose to go to hell. The Lord came to save us from that. So fear God is Solomon's way of saying, put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the only solution to the problem of life and eternity. And prove it by keeping his commandments. The Lord said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And that's what he's teaching us here. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man, of life. It's so simple, it's not complicated. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Now I'd like for you to turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. And I want you to think about this wisdom here. And remember, when Solomon was just a young boy, and was anointed king in Israel, The thing that he prayed for was an understanding heart. Something I started doing many years ago, is praying every day of my life. First thing is, save me from myself. Every day of my life. Without fail, I pray and ask God to save me from myself. Why? Because I'm the only real problem I've got. That's the only problem you've got. It's the only problem anybody in this church has got, or the whole world, is the freedom to choose. I fear that more than anything else in the universe. I fear the freedom to choose more than Satan many times over. And the reason is because of what we learn in Genesis. Here was Adam and Eve. Here is God over here, and here is Satan over here. The reason for the fall was a choice, the freedom to choose that Eve had. And she chose to believe the lie of the devil. And the lie of the devil was that God is a liar. He has not told you the truth. And in the day ye eat thereof, ye shall not surely die. He has lied to you. He told you that in the day ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. Not true. Not true. Satan was not the greatest threat in the Garden of Eden, folks. The freedom to choose was the greatest threat. I believe Solomon learned these things sitting at the feet of his dad and his mother. And so he prayed for understanding. And this is something that I do every day of my life without fail. I say, Lord, first thing I want you to do is save me from myself. And this freedom that you've given me to choose, to make choices. The second thing I pray for every day is for an understanding heart. Then I pray for wisdom, because that's the ability to make a right choice rather than a wrong choice. And then I pray for knowledge, because I need knowledge. And then I pray for instruction, because I need instruction. I need my ears open to the teachers of this book. And so I try to read books that are written by men of God that understand God and know God. And I come to church. And coming to church, to every meeting, it is one of the most important decisions you'll ever make in your life. Making it a discipline in your life that you're going to do this because you need it. We desperately need this. We need this Wednesday night meeting. And then I pray that God's Spirit would go with me and be in me. And the reason is because this is what we learn in the New Testament. John's Gospel, chapter 14. The Lord gave His Comforter to be with you and to be in you. Why did He say that? Because there's dangers without, but the greater danger is within. And we need His Holy Spirit to go with us, to be with us and to be in us, to save us on the inside and the outside. And the next thing I pray every day is that the Lord would keep me in remembrance of all of these things the reasons for humility, to keep me in remembrance of the reasons for humility, to fear pride. It's a dangerous thing. It'll cause a person to fall. Pride will. And the next thing I do is I try to pray every day of my life that the Lord would keep me in constant remembrance of the only sacrifices that I can offer to Him. And it's not anything that I can do. I can't offer anything to God. What can I have to offer God for my crime against Him? And so what I try to remember every day is the price He paid so that my sin could be taken away by the shedding of His own precious blood. And He gave me His sacrifice to take away my sin debt. But the next thing that He did is He gave me His resurrected Son to be my life. The resurrected Son. And these are the two things that enables us to stand before God with innocence. As we've talked about now in several meetings, I've tried to bring this point out. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 22. It's one of the most important verses in the Bible. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 22. That He could present us holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in His sight. That's the only way that you can stand before God with innocence. The innocence of the Son of God is a promise of the condition that we'll be in when we're resurrected from the dead because of the sacrifices of Christ, His precious blood, and raising His own self from the dead. You see, we killed the Son of God. We crucified. We're guilty of the crucifixion of the Son of God. But guess what? He's not dead. He said, I am He that liveth and was dead, but behold, I'm alive forevermore. And here we are standing before the Father. And there's no debt. And His Son is not dead. Because He has raised Himself from the dead and has given us His life to be in us. He's conformed us to His image as a result of us choosing that He do that. And not only that, He's not dead. And so the Father, you know, at one point, His Son was murdered and His precious blood was shed. And His Son was dead. He died. But here's the Father looking at us, and His Son is not dead. He's not dead. And the sin debt has been paid. I try to remember that every day of my life. Proverbs chapter 1, we'll spend just a little bit of time going through this. I'll try not to be much longer. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, and to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. You see, he's talking about the need to study. He's talking about thinking. Thinking. We need to learn to think. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Now listen to me, young people. This is one of the serious warnings for young people. You're going to have other young people that are going to be up to no good. They're going to try to entice you to take drugs, to drink alcohol, to smoke cigarettes, to go out and do things with your boyfriend or girlfriend that is absolutely wrong and immoral. We've had students in this school that have tried to set examples for other students to follow because they were living a life up to no good. And they were trying to entice others, and it's amazing how many young people would be influenced by those kinds of things. And we go after them because those children appeared to be popular, appeared to be happy. No, they weren't. A lot of those kids that decided to live that way, I know them. And I remember how they were 20 years ago, 30 years ago. They're not happy today. Many of them ruined their life forever. They sure did. And they're not laughing anymore. They were then, but they're not now. Some of them have been married two or three times. Some of them have had illegitimate babies. Some of them have had abortions. Some of them are alcoholics and drug addicts. Some of them are in jail. And yet they tried to stand on the stage of life as a showcase example of how life should be lived. Well, it didn't turn out the way they thought. It's sad to say many of them never did turn around. That can happen to a person. You can become hardened. Your heart can become seared to the point that you can't even listen anymore to the truth. Well, there's so many things I'd like to touch on here, but let's look at verse 20, because here we begin to see the passion of God in trying to reach out to us, because he's pleading with us to listen to his wisdom. Wisdom in verse 20, wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? These are the people that refuse to think. Keep it simple, keep it simple. Keep it on the surface. I don't want to think. How long will you simple ones love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Look at the fourth chapter. Look at verse 1. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Now listen to me, we haven't got time to study all of this, I wish we did. But if you look at Exodus chapter 20, which I don't want you to do, you'll see that the first four commandments have to do with our relationship to God. The following six commandments have to do with our relationship to everybody else. And you remember what Solomon prayed and asked for? Understanding, so that he would be able to judge among this thy so great a people. He needed discernment to know how to have the kind of influence he needed to have on others. At 15 years old, he was praying this. He no doubt had developed this kind of thinking much earlier than that. But the first commandment, the sixth commandment of the Ten Commandments, was honor thy father and mother. Why? Because young people, listen to me, older people have already learned by terrible mistakes. You remember King David and his sin? How he committed adultery with another man's wife? How he killed her husband? How he tried to get him drunk? How he tried to hide from his sin for months and months until finally God sent Nathan, the prophet, to expose to his own conscience what he had done. And David saw that he was worthy of death. But I'm going to tell you something. King David was a broken man because of that. And I'll tell you this, God forgave him and wiped his slate clean, so that in his sight, David was holy, unblameable, and unreprovable. And it was that, it was not, you see, young people sometimes point at their parents because of their failures. That's a huge mistake. A lot of parents have made terrible mistakes, but they learn from them. And now they can take that wealth of wisdom and pass it on to you so that you don't make those mistakes. And this is what this is all about. Solomon is sitting at the feet of his mother and his father, Bathsheba. Was out bathing herself, doing things that she should not be doing, enticing a man to sin with her. But Solomon sat at her feet, and the feet of his father. And he respected them, and he loved them because of the wisdom. You see, listen to me, young people. Wisdom is not human. It doesn't originate here. Wisdom comes from God. And Solomon understood that his father got this wisdom from God. And that's what you need. You need to get that wisdom that comes from God. Because you see, one of these days, you're going to leave this world. You're going to die. You're going to have a funeral. It's like I said one time in this church, a lot of times when I ride by Bo's funeral home, and I've thought this thought many times for many years as I'd ride by there, that I could be lying in that funeral home in 3 days. In 3 days. You die. And usually people get buried within 3 days. And every time you ride by that funeral home, you ought to look at it and remember. You're not going to live forever. You're going to die. Somebody's going to preach your funeral. And what are they going to say? Brother Vic was telling me about a funeral he attended not long ago. And a man had lived a very terrible life of sin. And some young preacher conducted the funeral. Somebody didn't even know the person that had died, been invited to preach. It was a young man, thin, skinny, that's what Vic told me. And he got up there and he plowed the field. And he made the statement that he didn't know where this person was. But he made it perfectly clear, if he had not trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior, he'd burn in hell right now. Young people, that is forever with no remedy, no possibility of salvation, of deliverance of any kind. It's forever. A person that would trod underfoot the blood of the Son of God and what he has done for us deserves to burn in hell forever. That's the message of this book. Our time is gone. I'm going to stop right here. I'd like to say some more things, but I know you're tired. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for these moments to study your word. I do pray for the young people in this church. I'm so thankful for them and for those that have parents that know you and love you. And every day of their life, they're praying for their children that they would have an eternal future of hope because their trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they've learned it at the feet of their mother and their father. It's so important that we understand these things in this church. And that these young people might realize how precious they are to all of us. But most especially to the Lord Jesus Christ. So I pray that you would help us and you would preserve this ministry in the future by raising up young people to take over the work. And we thank you so much for them. We make this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.